as we say oftentimes in our church, that there's never a time to come down to the altar necessarily. Was kind of unconventional for some people, but you don't have to wait to the end of a service if you feel that God has moved, you know, on you, something you want to pray about, something that you want somebody to come and agree with. You just come down, get somebody, go to the back. You don't even have to come up here to the altar. There's nothing in this altar. There's nothing in the person that prays outside of faith, believing in Jesus Christ as the one that's going to be the source for each and every one of us. A lot of things has been prayed for down to these altars today, and we know that God is in the miracle working business. We know that God is going to take care of us, and all we've got to do on our end, just let it go. Let it go. last week, you know, we discussed human rebellion, the fall of Adam and Eve, and we looked at how Satan tries to deceive us by causing us to doubt God's word, causing us to doubt God's goodness in our life. Remember, we looked at it and he said, well, did God really say that you shouldn't eat of any tree in the garden? And of course, that's not what God said, but that was the deception that Satan was trying to get into Adam and Eve. Did God really say this in his word? And if he said that, is he really good? And that's the battle that you and I are in every day. And that's what Satan is trying to get us to be in, that deceiving mode even right now. The old lies of the Garden of Eden are right here in 2016. Satan didn't have to come up with any new ones. He's got some pretty good ones, and people are biting on them and taking a hold of them every day. So why change the lie? You know, when the word says something, most of the time people go back and they say, well, did the Bible really say we couldn't do that, or really say we should do that? Once you start asking and putting a question mark over that kind of stuff, you're probably going down a wrong path. I ask about my motive when I say that. Is my motive so I can find a way out of this? Because that means then you start hiring lawyers and all these people to decipher, you know, find your loopholes, you know, in the Bible. That's not a place that you ought to be in. If the Bible says don't do it, it really doesn't matter. Even, and there has been times in my life that I have went to the Bible before, and man, and I was a saved, born-again Christian, and I'm not going to tell you a specific instance of what it was, but I'll tell you this time in my life to where I looked at the Bible, and I said, this sin is okay, and I used Scripture to back that up. That sin wasn't okay. It wasn't okay then. It wasn't okay now. And I can guarantee you on the day of judgment, God is going to probably bring that up, because that was afterwards. But I've asked for the forgiveness. I've tried to turn away from that. But even in my case, you know, and I was a lot younger than I am right now, still am pretty young. But I looked at it and I was convinced. Satan had me convinced through the Bible. Can he do that? Wasn't that what he did when Satan tempted Jesus Christ? He said, Scripture. Doesn't the Scripture say? And you go, oh, yeah. And you start putting pieces together. That's never going to lead you into a right path. And don't follow my example when it comes to that. And all of these things and all this talk has brought us to the topic this morning and the title of this message. What does it mean to live life? you hear a lot about this. And I've got them. I'll leave this title up here for just a second, but you hear this all the time from motivational speakers, your friends, your family members, quotes all over the internet, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even from religious leaders, you know, live life. And I found a quote up here, and I've got it. Let's throw it up here, Joe. live life to the fullest because it only happens once. You know, don't you hear that? I've got to do this. I've got to do that because I only got one shot at this thing. So I want to live life to its fullest. What does it mean to live life to the fullest? Ask yourself that. I'm asking you right now. What does it mean? Somebody tell me. Oh, you're going to think we're at Sunday night or Wednesday night. What does it mean to live life? What does this right here mean? Not maybe not what you. What does this quote mean? Live life to the fullest because it only happened once. Matthew? I think that's a pretty good way of putting it right there, because I read a lot of these quotes that it says, you know, and don't regret anything that made you smile. I regret a lot of things that made me smile. I don't know about you. I mean, almost most things that make you smile as a human being are probably things that you're going to regret at some point. Not everything, but you know how we are as human people. And, you know, you think about it now. If you got a little bit of age on you, you probably can list a lot of things before that you were going, hee hee, and now you're going, ooh. And so I thought that quote, but you see that time. Live life. Don't regret anything that makes you smile, because guess what? You only have once. And I'm asking, what does it mean for you and me to live life? And folks, I hope that you'll be able to understand after this message today that there are two camps, the world's and Christ, and you get to choose which one that you're in. But they are different. They are not the same at all, okay? Two different ways of looking at this, two different approaches. As I said, even some religious leaders talk about this, and throw up that next picture for me, because Joel Osteen, you may not be able to see it, he has this book out, and I've always thought this title was interesting. Your Best Life Now. And he says here, that it's seven steps to living at your full potential. Sounds enticing right there. Never read it. Never will read it. Don't encourage you to read it. But I look at that and I'm going, if this is my best life now, then what in the world is heaven? What's heaven? I thought heaven was my best life. Because I don't have all my eggs in this one basket right here. So, I mean, you can give me the seven steps to make this life to the fullest, and it may be a great book. I have no idea. Probably not, but it's probably, you know, not a great book. I mean, but the title of that book's been out, you know, for several years. 2007, I think, is when he wrote this book. Number one on the bestseller list, New York Times, for two straight years right there. Because obviously, and he has an attendance of his church of 38,000 people. 38,000, that's great, okay? I'm not mad at him. I just wish that he wouldn't make it to be so, and so many other people and motivational speakers, and especially from a religious standpoint, to tell people that this is your best life and that you focused here. I think the scripture says something a little bit different about all of those things. So when you look at things and you look at what does it mean to live your life, what does it mean to live life to the fullest potential, I think that some people that are here that are older have a different answer to that question than those people that are younger. The older you get, the more you get to the end of your life, you begin to see living life a little bit different than those of us that are younger. And so let's dive into the Word this morning and see what God has to teach us. Philippians 1, verses 20 through 26. Philippians 1, 20 through 26. Paul said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And I want to stop right there. I'm going to take this a verse at the time. You see here that Paul is, what does it mean to eagerly expect and hope? He's longing for this. This is something, this is not just, well, I'm kind of looking forward to this. This is kind of important to me. He says, I eagerly expect and I hope that I will in no way be ashamed. That ought to be how we ought to live our life, that we in no way will be ashamed of Christ, but will have sufficient courage. This verse speaks to somebody here today. But will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. That means Christ is going to be exalted in any way you can look at this thing. Whether I am living or whether I die, Christ is going to be exalted. Verse 21 says, for to me to live in Christ, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You ever heard that verse before? A lot of people have heard it. It's a magnificent verse, I think, when you look at this. And that verse caught my attention, you know, as I was reading in the book of Philippians. To live is Christ. And you got to look. I stopped, and it took me 2 days looking at this scripture right here and really trying to grasp the impact of what Paul's words are right there. To live is Christ. And to die is gain. And a lot of times we look at this verse, and it's been taught, and I've taught on it before, and you kind of focus on the second half of that. To die is gain. To die is, you know, talking about heaven and all of those other things and what we're going to be gaining and all of that. But focus on what he's talking about the living portion of this. What is Paul talking about here? To live is Christ. And look at verse 22 and going down to the end here as we go to verse 26. He says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. What Paul is saying in verse 21 right there, and he's saying to live is Christ, and right now Paul is in prison. Paul is in chains, okay? And all the people knew, and if you read on up in this chapter right here, you'll see that he says, everybody knows why I'm in chains. They know that I am in chains for Christ. And so whether he's living or not, he tells us that he is going to be, he's going to have some fruitful labor if he's living, that he is going to be living for Jesus Christ. Not just saying, okay, well, out of the 24 hours a day that I have, I'm going to give you 30 minutes. Paul was saying, out of the 24 hours that I have in this day, I'm giving you 24 hours. Out of the 7 days a week, I'm giving you seven, not just Sunday morning. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But I'm giving you 7 days. I'm giving you 365 in a year, 366 when that February 29th comes on in there. You know, I'm going to give you everything that I have in my life. And Paul knew what that meant. And he said, so in my life, I'm going to be sure that Jesus Christ is exalted. And he says that right there. He's exalted in life. Or as he is exalted in death. And see, the people that were there knew that Paul, again, was in chains for Christ. And if somebody come in and they killed him, then they would have known that he died for who? For Christ. So in that moment, he said, you know what? God is going to be exalted. Christ is going to be exalted in my life or in my death. And also, though, the second point, not just that particular aspect of it, that everybody would know why he died. But if he died, it's a win-win situation. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Is Christ gain? Because Christ is going to be exalted and Christ is going to be glorified. And Paul is going to gain because Paul is going to be exalted to a place that is so much better than this life. He says it right here in verse 23. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which what? Is better by far. Folks, if you think that this life is better, and it's your best life now, Satan has deceived you. You are a pitiful person if you are looking at this life and this is all you have to look forward to. 100 years? Harry back there said it was all of eternity. It's too short of a time to praise God for everything that he's done for us. 100 years is not enough for me to live life to the fullest. I'm expecting something way further than that. 80 years, 60 years, 50 years, however long that you live. Folks, if you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if you're bowed in to what this world is telling you, that this is it, this is all you got, you only live once, so get it all in now. Even if I was able to have the best of time, the most success, the most money, it all gets stripped from you. It all gets taken away from you at death. Everything you amass, every accomplishment you ever had, every success that you ever did, and I've said this before, me and you, we're only one or two generations from being forgotten. How many of you know everything about your great-great-grandparents and all the successful things that they did? You may know about your grandparents, started this company, did this, done that, but when you go a couple of generations out, you don't even know those people. They're not even remembered. So where's your legacy? Where is that? How far does that go? How far does our successes and our accomplishment? You may build a humongously great company. Two generations down, they usually destroy it. Generally speaking, if it stayed like that, because they don't know what it meant to have built it. It happens every single day in our time. Folks, it's a lot different when this world is out here, and especially from younger people, we buy into this lie that somehow, because you're in your 20s, that you've got to have this long time of promiscuity and of fun. What is fun? What is that? That's a relative term. Because I may like to play board games, or you may like to bowl, or you may like to do all that. Fun is a relative term. And I know that there's a lot of things I've done in my life that were fun that I'm ashamed of. Made me smile, but I'm ashamed of them. And as I've said before, I try to call out to younger people, don't waste time. Because there is what I have done, and God has blessed me so much, folks. He's blessed me so much in my life to be as young as I am. And I still make stupid mistakes, and that's crazy. But I have had older people in my life that I'm looking, I'm going, ooh, that didn't turn out too well for them. So I'm going to try not to do that. Because they had all this fun. And now they regret 20 years of their life. Well, I kind of said, as a young person, I don't want to have that many that I regret. I mean, I'm already building up a couple, you know, back here. But I don't want to waste time. And folks, when you look at this from a spiritual standpoint, we don't have time to waste time. There are people that need to know about Jesus Christ right now. And we are living in a world that is going into the depths of despair. And everybody's telling you again to live life. And you know what all that means. Go out here and just have the most fun. But look at what Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Tell us about this kind of thinking. Mark chapter 8, 34 through 38. It says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. If you go back and you look at verse 34, it says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and it says, if anyone would come after me, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if anybody wants to follow me, then you're going to have to deny yourself. Now, this is a little bit different. I don't know how many times people deny themselves that they smile, that it's a fun type of a circumstance. When you become a Christian, you probably have to do a lot of pruning. Anybody ever gardened or anything or had a bush or a tree or something? Right here, did a little gardening? Okay. In order for it to be successful, you got to pull some things out, right? You got to pull a little bit of weeds. You know, sometimes you had to cut that thing back so it'll grow, you know, bigger and better later on. It requires a little bit of cutting sometimes. And in your life, you've got to deny yourself. If you are a Christian, the Bible tells us that in order to be a disciple, in order to follow Christ, we have got to deny ourselves. And that we must take up our cross and follow him. Taking up that sacrifice, taking up our cross and how we're identifying and where to follow Jesus Christ. In verse 35, this little great question here. Ultimatum, really. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. So if this life that you have, some versions may say soul right there, if you're looking to say, I want to make this the best that it is, I want to save this life right here, I'm putting all my stock, all my money, all my investments in this life right here because I want to save it. I want to make sure that this is the best. What does it say? It says, we'll lose it. But whoever loses this life, whoever loses these things, for what? just loses it, just commit suicide, or you just give up all your possessions just because somebody told you to. No, you lose it for a purpose. And it says that you lose it for me. This is Jesus talking right here. And for the gospel, if you will deny yourself and if you will give up things for Jesus Christ, your entire life for him and for the gospel, then he'll save it. And verse 36 is the greatest question ever asked in the Bible almost. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Because if we're living our best life now, if we're putting all of our stock here, having the most fun, the most success, the most everything, and we're pouring everything in, all for us to forfeit heaven, that's not a good deal at all. That's not a good deal at all. And so to gain everything here, and we focus on this, folks, we say, well, what does it mean to live a good life? Well, a full life. Well, you know, I did everything. I traveled the world. I had a bunch of kids, a great family. All of that stuff passes away. It all at death ends. And I got another quote that I want to put up here. And I think this is a better quote than the first one that I put up there. It says, you only live once. That's false. You live every day. You only die once. You need to look at it in that perspective right there. We have a chance to live every single day. You only die one time. And when you die, that's it. Okay? And then there's something greater and better and all after that. But God has given you days and days and days and days to live. We look at it as, oh, I only live once, so I better do this. I look at it as, no, I'm going to die at some point. And I better have lived a life in all this time that God has given me that's worthy of an afterlife after that time that I die. All right? And so when you look at how what Jesus has told us, when you are simply being someone that is focusing on you and focusing on this life, you are not acting as a Christian would. Because what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that we are Christ-like. Now, how selfish was Jesus with his life and his time? Huh? He wasn't at all. He lived his life to pour into other people. He lived his life every day of his life. And the last 3.5 years of his life was totally for somebody else. And that's what we're saying that we're doing. But if you are the type of person that you are striving to get as much as you can out of your time on this earth just so you can be successful, that's a selfish way of looking at things. And you will get it. You get it. You will get money. You will get prominence. You will get success. You'll get great things. But if you're striving to do that, then the Bible says that your reward is here. So you don't get rewards on this other side. But if you look at Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, a lot of great things in Proverbs. It says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. I want to stop right there. Two types of people. One that is given freely, given of time, talent, money, resources, whatever it is. What happens to that person? Yet they gain even more than they ever gave in the first place. Yet the other person withholds unduly, and what happens to them? They hoarded it. They still got it. They got the $1 million. They still holding on to it. But what happens in the end? Lose it all, and you become in a place of poverty. Verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. All right, let me give you, I don't have to write a book to give you 7 steps on how to be the fullest of the life that is here. If you want to be successful in this life, you have first got to humble yourself to Jesus Christ, and he'll give you a life more abundantly. He will allow you to have blessings. He will allow you to have Whether you think financial blessings are the biggest thing, he'll allow you to have a little bit of money. He'll allow you to have a great family. He'll allow you to have, you know, worldly success and for what it is. But if you're seeking after those things, you probably are not going to get them if you're trying to do it from the mode of a Christian. Just like Christ, if you go up to a bank and you tell an investment banker, I want to give you $100,000 of my money, and I want you to guarantee me that I'm going to get a 10% return on my money. What kind of guarantees are in that? None at all. Okay, no kind of guarantees at all. We got all kind of statements at a bank that are that long to tell you how you can just lose everything that you have if you do that. But we go in and you put your money here and you're expecting to get something back, right? Well, with God, you can't do 24 and 25, give to people and expect to get something back and think God's going to bless you. He don't work that way. He says, give freely. Go back to verse 24. What did it say right there? Fourth word, gives freely. That's without condition. Doesn't mean you got to get anything back. You don't expect anything back. If you give with conditions, you know, upon those things, then you're trying to make sure and you're trying to shore up the fact that you're going to get a return. And think about it right now. Whenever, if you're young and you're in an investment strategy and it's very aggressive, it's really risky, but you probably get the best returns like that. If you're older and you're towards retirement, you want all your money to be in savings accounts and money market accounts and CDs and things that are really, really, really secure because you want to be sure that you get your money back. But you don't get great returns in that way. And if you're going over there with God trying to ensure in every single way that you're going to get a mighty return for what you're doing for him, you're going to lose. But if you will give freely of whatever it is in this life, if you'll think about somebody other than yourself, and if you will be like Jesus, it's that simple. If you will be like Jesus, who thought about everybody else above himself, then God is going to bless you. Now, I gave you a negative example of me a while ago. Let me give you a slight positive. And I don't always like to give positives for myself because I try not to be haughty about things. But let me tell you, I have spent a great portion of, you know, my life in ministry. I have been doing ministry for the past since I was 17 years old, for the past 10 years of my life, and even before that I had an official title of anything, whether I was licensed or ordained, I was teaching classes in church and doing youth. I taught youth when I was 14. I'd run vacation Bible school. I did all of these things, and I spent a large portion of my life pouring in to other people, okay? And God's never let me lack one bit. Never has he let me lack for anything. He has blessed me more than he should have. Way more than he should have. He has given me back way more than I've ever put in. And I want to tell you right now that if you want to have something, what happens, folks, and I'm going to tell you about tithing for a moment. Now, I don't care how much you put in the plate. Anybody that's visiting here, I don't care whether you put a dollar or not. God's going to bless the church. Guarantee you. Been there, done that. All right, so what you put in there, it's up to you and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something about tithing. There has been questions in my life at whether or not I'm going to give or whether I'm not. And I used to sit over here in this area when I was just coming to church, and I remember going, I don't have enough money, so I'm not going to give. I was on staff at the church. Don't you know that I still had the same money trouble when I didn't give that $50 that I was supposed to? Still had the same money trouble. The end still didn't meet, even when I held back unduly. But there has been another time that I can tell you that I gave. It was same $50 one time. I gave $50, and I gave it, and that was it. Went to my grandmother's house. My grandmother called me, and she said, Corey, I want you to come over. I got something for you. And I was going, well, okay. She didn't give me anything. She never gave me anything. This is the grandmother that didn't have a lot and didn't give me a lot. I went over there to her house, and she said, you know what? You know, you're moving. You're doing all these things in your new apartment. She said, me and your granny want to give you $200. And I'm going to tell you, I went back to the car, and I thanked her, obviously. But God just slapped me and said, I gave you way more than you ever put in. Okay. Now, I'm not saying, don't try it in the offering plate, because I didn't approach it that way. It's not about the offering plate, about the money here. What time are you giving to God outside of the church? Okay. Whatever you do, in time, talent, resources, or whatever, if you will lessen yourself and you will pour into other people, whether that's money or whether that's just your time that you go over there and do that, God is going to exalt you. He's going to exalt you on this earth. Even more is what we're going to have in heaven. But you're going to live an abundant life on this earth because he is going to bless you for the fruit of your labor. He blessed Paul. Paul never lacked for anything, even when he was in chains, and he had learned to be content. You are going to see that. But if you are looking in this life to put all your time, talent, effort, and resources into this life, you will live, but you will die. I want to live. Okay, I want to lessen a little bit, and I want to live, okay? I want to live in eternity with God. But if we don't get it right here, he doesn't give you the chance to go there. You got to get it right here. Every day that he gives you, it's got to be a time of selflessness. So I just ask you, I ask myself this. It's something God's really been teaching me over the past couple of months about things and where I had gotten. We've got to get back humble. Jim, reading the book, you know, about humility. You know, they're an absolute surrender, and I got the same book, and I'm a little scared to read it, you know, really, when it just brings everything out there to you. But we all, folks, don't buy the lie that the world is teaching you, that you got to live this crazy lifestyle and that you're going to get rewarded for it. Live as Christ lived, and you will receive blessings. Everybody's blessed in this building right now, every single person that is here. Some maybe you think is more than others. There's people in here got way more money than I've got. People in here's got a little bit. I don't base my success on whether I got money. What is that? It's all going to be gone when I die. That doesn't matter how much I amass. You know, I like to have money to go buy me something to eat, obviously. But if I can be any example to you, especially younger people, I'm fixing to be 28 years old coming up in March. My birthday's the 31st, don't forget, okay? I'm fixing to be 28 years old, and I made a commitment, you know, that a long time ago that I was not gonna waste any time. Now I've wasted a little bit and waste a little bit every year, but I was not gonna just stop and waste all these years for God, that I was gonna take time, and I need to be pouring in even more than I do right now. But one thing God showed me is that, Corey, if you'll live for me, if you'll do that, I'm going to take care of you. I am going to take care of you. And he has done so much more that it humbles me. I don't go, oh, yeah, God, give me a little bit more. I go, wow, you're giving me too much. You've given me too much. And, folks, you want to live? You want God to answer your prayers? You want God to give you an abundant life? God, Jesus said that I want you to have life and to have life more abundantly. He wants you to do that. But if you're going out here trying to live for self, you're going to keep grasping for something that's not there. It's simple. Surrender to him. Give him your life. Give him your problems. Give him all of those things. Be like Paul and say, whether it's in my life, whether it's in my death, whatever I'm doing, what I want is that God is exalted. And if you want God to be exalted, that means you're going to be humbled and that he's going to raise you up, folks. And it's worth living 80 years of humility to get eternity of being co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior, you are in a hopeless place. And you know it. You know who you are. If there's somebody in here, you know who you are. And basically what you're saying is you're looking at this life and all of its struggles and all of its problems, and you're saying, I am fine. Would this be an all I have to hope for? If you're able to say that, I'd love for you to explain it to me after the service and talk to me about why you want to limit yourself into that way. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a actual man, whether you believe in his deity or not, hung on a cross over 2,000 years ago because he loved us so much. And he took away the sins that we have. And the only thing he asked of us is that we would believe in our heart that he rose from the dead and that we would live that life. If you believe it in that way, that's all he asked. He didn't say pay a lot of money. He didn't say that you had to go into. He said, believe in me. And if you believe like that, you're going to live like this. That's what he's asking of us. That's it. The world's got all other kind of requirements. If you can surrender to him, you know, as you keep going through life, that you're trying to do it by yourself. It's not going to work that way. You're not going to work that way. And as we showed the little video clip last Sunday, and I'm going to end with this, Satan makes our little cell very comfortable. You got everything you need. You never even need to leave. But that sin that you're in that's so comfortable, one day that cell door closes, and then it's too late. Because when we die, you got family members, you got people that you can think of. The last breath that we breathe and we die, that's it. Because God gave us a lot of time to live. And it's how you chose to live, the world's way or God's way. And I'm imploring on you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, please find somebody. Grab them by the hand. Come to an altar. Go back there to the back. Go somewhere else. Find somebody today before you leave this place if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's worth eternity. I want more than just this life, because these past 28 years have been great, but they hadn't been something that I'd want to continue for eternity with. And God's promised us so much more. Let's pray.